Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Still don't hear Captain Save-A-Ho.
That's a very explicit song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read the lyrics and...
It's about Save-A-Ho. This is a new edition.
This is better. This is much better.
Doug, I was enjoying pistachios in the commercial break. What do you think?
Oh, I love pistachios.
Yeah.
No, but what did you think of Tim enjoying them? That was the question. What did you think of Tim?
No, it's about me. Let's be honest.
No, I disagree. It's about Tim.
Thank you. Thank you for the delicious
And thank you for the many bell rings during the Gould segment.
Kelly Chase going to be with us, brought to you by Petromart, coming up at 9:15. Hot Shots email of the day at 9:45. Anybody other than Misty Plops wins today? And Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech ships the November Hot Shots email of the month. We heard from Derek Gould, and he gave us his thoughts on the Cardinals and Giants. Also named the Red Sox, Dodgers, and said a third team, which he's not as comfortable or confident, I should say, as putting in that same category as the Red Sox and Dodgers, at least from a confidence that it's actually going on standpoint. But he said the Giants and Cardinals are the most active. What stood out to you from our conversation with Derek Gould regarding the Cardinals and Giancarlo Stanton?
Well, he seemed to be pretty certain that at least the four teams that we've heard are in the hunt for Stanton, including the Giants and the Cardinals. That's good news. And he believes that, he stands by it, that the Cardinals are in a really good position to try to make something happen in regard to Stanton. And if not... Mm-hmm. Then it's Ozuna or Yelich, but there is outfield help coming.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt that they'll make a move somewhere.
With the Marlins.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be with the Marlins, but they'll do something big. I'm sure
I agree
with
that.
I'm not convinced that it's a big risk for Stanton to hear the Marlins say, well, we'll just trade everybody else and keep you here if you don't go where you want to go. I don't think that Stanton would be bullied like that. He has a right not to be. He's got that in his contract. If they want to trade everybody and he wants to stay there, then I think he'll do that rather than go somewhere where he's really not interested in playing or living.
Well, I did my part because I got comparable properties to his penthouse in Miami,
right,
in the Kirkwood Rock Hill area. And there are some buttes, but they're not exactly, they don't
Rock
exactly
Hill?
Match up, but there's some buttes.
Why just Kirkwood and Rock Hill?
Yeah, well, like Huntley.
They're adjacent to each other, and that's where everyone... You want to live in Kirkwood, don't you?
I don't think Kirkwood touches Rock Hill anywhere.
Well, right, there's an abutment.
I don't know about any abutments.
Right by the intersection.
Glendale touches Rock Hill.
You can touch me in Kirkwood.
That won't have anything to do
Look,
with Stanton.
I have limited resources. I'm trying to do my part, so I picked a couple of municipalities. Kirkwood and Rock Hill.
Okay.
All right? What do you want from me? Mm. Did you get comparables?
No, I don't know that we have anything that would compare to a penthouse apartment.
Well, there's some
buttes. The Atlantic Ocean.
There's some real buttes.
Doug, how do you think Stanton would rate the STL 10s in comparison with Miami's? Thanks. That's from the 314.
About the same. A 10 is a 10. It's just a matter of your personal preference.
Yeah, but Charlie says he's a solid St. Louis 6, didn't he?
Yeah, a 10 ain't a
7,
10.
I thought he said a
Oh, St. 7? Is that right?
No, I think a 10 is a 10. I think a woman gets to the degree where, okay, you can't get any more beautiful. You can get somebody who, you know, you have a different liking for. But at some point, they're as beautiful as they're going to get.
Let me tell you, at Canton, we have 10s. They're like Bozeman, Montana 7s.
Well,
you're talking, those are 10s. They ain't 10s everywhere
else.
You're
saying a city like St. Louis, we don't have real 10s? We do. We absolutely do.
I think there's false 10s more so than the real bona fide 10s.
Elaborate, boy.
I think girls like to get dolled up, and we haven't seen a lot of beautiful females, at least for me in my lifetime, so boom, you instantly think that's a 10.
You haven't seen beautiful girls
You gotta dive in a little bit more, because if you're looking at a bar, maybe it's dimly lit, she surrounds herself with a bunch of, you know, lesser, like maybe sixes or fives, and makes her 7 appear to be a 9 or a 10, which it really isn't, and so there's a lot of factors to break into that. You can't just instantly look at a girl in 5 seconds and go, that's a 10.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. What about a seventh toe? Or, you know, she has a hairy armpit. You know, you can't
you skip the sixth toe. The seventh one's the deal breaker.
Well, that one means it's on the side of the foot at that point. Maybe a six toe can blend in as well with the pinky. A seven toe would kind of have to jag it out of the foot proper.
I would think the difference in St. Louis and Miami as far as the attractiveness of the women
is everything
would be skewed slightly by the few models that are there on South Beach. Other than that, there'd be no difference.
Doug, what about all the hot dudes in the 314? It has to be a selling point.
I don't know that that's what you're going to sell them on.
St. Louis is a stepdad hotbed, so if that's what he's
is
going
it really?
For, I would think.
Why? Why would we have more divorces here?
I think we have we're one of the only cities with a father-son dance annually, I think. So you have that going for you. It's a
yeah, that's a positive.
I don't know that that really exists. We probably have fewer stepdads either. I would just guess that the divorce rate is probably a little lower in St. Louis.
Why do you say that?
Well, just the Midwest in general, I would think, probably. I'm just guessing that it might have a lower divorce rate than the coast.
Plowhawk's looking into it. Now, what about the high STD rate?
Well, that has to do with the smaller population of St. Louis City. That's where most of those stats come from, when we lead the nation in chlamydia.
Well, I thought we were battling out with the villages.
I don't know about that. I think we're a solid number one in chlamydia. Last stats I saw, we were comfortably in front there.
We fell to second, actually.
No!
In the last,
oh, really? Who got it?
Who took our measure?
I don't remember, but I know we fell to second.
Huh. Plowlock, what kind of data are you pulling? He's pulling data.
I mean,
algorithms and the like.
You would have to think there would be some data. We have a lot of cities with single dads, and you want to hear them? I mean,
sure.
I don't know.
How about cities with the highest divorce rate? Maybe you could Google that.
That's a good.
I would just think that might be New York, L.A., but I'm stereotyping there.
It looks like Portville, California, percentage-wise, had the most single dads. But then you have...
Is that what you were asking for?
I'm not interested in single
dads. You have Fresno in there. But the surprising one, I think, out of this list is Anchorage, Alaska, has 3.3% of their households are single dads. So, something to think about.
I don't need to think about that.
But we'll look at divorce rates.
Okay. All right, we'll wait till you look that up.
Guys, what I love about the show is that at any given moment, I think any one of you is the biggest idiot going.
Hold on. And you're right.
Tim excluded, of course. But then in the next breath,
right.
You guys sound...
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh, my God. The gong is dead. Wow, long live the gong. But then in the next breath, you guys sound like geniuses. Right now, Plowboy sounds like the biggest idiot going. Thank you.
Well, maybe I can redeem myself. Here, cities with the most divorces.
Okay.
You want to do it? They do a top 15, so we'll go down to the...
Oh, so I got power rate?
Is this based on percentages?
This is based on percentage.
Okay.
We're going to go all the way down, yada, yada. Oh, I got another page here.
Ignore the ad.
We just text Bill.
Charleston, West Virginia is number 11.
Huh. Interesting.
All right, I think I went back
okay.
one too
yeah,
far.
You went back on
yeah, you're making that texture look pretty smart.
Well, I thought I had number one going, but it was 15. Redding, California is number 15.
Is this
15.
Hot dads or is this divorces?
Okay, we'll go top three. Logan, Utah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
6.6% of the population are divorced.
Really?
57% is married. 32 never married.
From every one of their wives or like one of the six that they're married to? Does that count?
Yeah, I
wow, Utah's a hotbed.
That's probably a factor.
Provo, Utah is number one. And number two in there is Ames, Iowa. I think we all knew about that.
I didn't.
So
home of the Cyclones?
Yeah.
Wow.
Johnny Orr?
Oh, he's been gone for 25
home wrecker.
Years.
Yeah, Cali got, I mean, just a hot, that's a hotbed.
California.
Yeah, that's the stepdad hotbed.
What are we doing, stepdads or divorces?
We're not doing stepdads. We don't care about stepdads.
Well, I'm just saying, you look at the data for divorced percentage, and then you have
is there
the
a
single
correlation
dads,
with your dad on
single dads, yeah. Divorce. Yeah, I think stepdads, Fresno area. Provo, Utah as well. Those are the two.
Well, if they're divorced, that doesn't mean they're a stepdad.
I'd like
to
see the divorce.
You have to be remarried to be a stepdad.
Yeah, I'd like to
you
see
wouldn't
that.
Be divorced.
I'd like to see that data.
Why?
Remarried stepdads. Or,
you can't be a stepdad okay. unless you're remarried.
Remarried and then you become a stepdad. I think that's a high percentage of divorce.
Or you wouldn't have to be remarried. You'd have to be married because it could be your first marriage, but you could still be a stepdad.
So hot.
That's not hot. There's nothing hot about it. It's just a fact.
There needs to be more data, though, because I was looking.
There doesn't need
not.
To be any more data.
So the conclusion is Utah is a divorce hotbed.
Yes.
It's got to have something to do with
it. And there's a ton of single dads in Cali, which means...
You know what you'd call it? You call it
future
step
stepdads.
Data.
Step data.
I am ringing this time.
Okay.
That's nice. That's real nice, sir. What that is real nice. Doug, can you tell us about the STL tax lawyer? Because this is something that's kind of eye-opening when
this
you tell.
This could lead you to a divorce if you don't take care of your tax problems, that's for sure. If you're currently sideways with the IRS, and I mean you're having trouble. You maybe have years of unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night, that'll do it. Or you're facing tax liens, bank levies, wage garnishments, all very serious problems, and you are at your wit's end, and frankly, you don't know what to do. Well, right. Here's what you do. Contact former Department of Justice Tax Division attorney Mark Milton. That's Milton, M-I-L-T-O-N. And here's his website, stltaxlawyer.com. He can get you out of hot water. Mark Milton and stltaxlawyer.com provide a local and holistic approach to tax resolution. So don't be sucked into the out-of-town tax resolution groups you hear on TV and the radio. If you have IRS problems, and a lot of people do, get them taken care of. Do it right. Visit Mark Milton at stltaxlawyer.com. Today. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.
Matt, who bowls at Hanks, just posted a message on the fan page asking if anyone wants to watch Tiger play today at a local watering hole. So,
I understand there's a lot of them coming up here today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I forgot who sent me a message. Oh, well, Hall of Famer Dave. So there's like 7 or 8 fan pagers coming up here for lunch today.
Why? To watch Tiger Woods play?
Because it's a good place to eat lunch. That's why.
I just wonder if they're having some kind of little party amongst
them.
Well,
I didn't get into depth. They just said they're coming up if I want to join, but it was at 1:30. I'll be gone, and I'm not coming all the way back up.
Oh, you don't think you
might
would.
Be a little cold today. Get a little cup of that brisket chili. It's pretty good.
Mm.
Iggy, what do you get there? You get the salmon because Tim gets the salmon?
I get the salmon because it's very good, and Tim recommended it, but it is very good.
Okay. Good Lord.
And if they ever have it on special,
good Lord. Doug said good Lord.
It might be on the menu now, I don't know, but the burnt end sandwich I had one time for lunch was outstanding.
They actually burn the ends of it?
Mm.
What ends? The ends of what?
Just make sure, Tim, you do like a head count on the wait staff. If Iggy's going, make sure at the end you
pick one off.
Make sure one might disappear.
What's that? The little one?
He thinks you're going to kill one of the waitresses.
That's the little one. She's cute. Oh,
I only know one.
Okay. Now, when you say burnt end sandwich, what are you eating there? Is that pork?
I'm trying to think of what it is. It's the butt end of the pork, maybe. I'll even look it up for you because I want to make sure.
And to burn it.
No, it's just that's what they call it. They melt in your mouth. They were so good.
Melted butts.
Doug, here's Mike Francesa.
Oh, no.
What? Getting confused about his travel itinerary in 1994.
Topical. What everyone's discussing.
Doug went for the first two games of the Rangers series with Vancouver, and I stayed with the Knicks for games 6 and 7 of Indiana series. And Doug was in Vancouver. I was with the Rangers. I was with the Knicks. He was with the Rangers. And then when the Rangers lost 5, then I went out there. And then Doug went to the last game of the series before Vancouver, then went to Vancouver. And I went with the Rangers. I went with the Knicks. And then I went out to Vancouver and then went back to Vancouver for game 6. So I went there for 3. Dog was there. I guess it was the series before, and then it was which was closing out, and then he was with that, and I was with the Knicks. There was a time I was with the Knicks for Game 7 Indiana, and he was with the Rangers. And then I did make 2 different trips to Vancouver. And Game 6 Vancouver, Dog and I after the game went right to Houston. For the Knicks Houston.
Someone called in with that question. Can you please give us your travel itinerary?
It was
from
so confusing.
23 years ago. And do you really need to, or do you get to cover those games on the road as a talk radio guy? That's pretty sweet. I guess maybe they did their shows from those cities.
Plus, he was arguing with himself a little bit about what was going on.
By the way, Doug, burnt ends are flavorful pieces of meat cut from the point half of a smoked brisket.
The point half.
There's more seasoning in there. Ooh. The end, and it's a little crispier.
Iggy, you were given an assignment during the Derek Gould interview as listeners were submitting pictures of their wives for Doug to rank them. And one gentleman claims he's married to a former Playboy playmate from Girls of the Pack at the time, Pac-10, in 1997. What have you been able to discover in the diligence process?
All right, first of all, no offense to him, but if you were one of the Girls of the Pack 10, you aren't a playmate.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's just true. I mean,
but
if you
didn't make it to the top.
They do this every year, the Girls of the SEC, Girls of the Pac-10, Girls of the Big 12. I mean, they did it every year. We had an entertainment reporter who was in the magazine.
We did.
But it's not a playmate. And I went through...
Well, don't just tease us like that. Who the hell was it?
Well, Hoffman and I went through...
Hoffman was...
He was helping
in
me.
Playboy?
Yeah. He was back
What was
here.
He wearing?
And we had...
But it was jean shorts.
And he said he was a submissive bottom?
What's going on with Hoffman?
Joining us right now in the appliance girl.
Yeah, I'll stop there. I won't get back to that.
I just feel like Chase was seconds away from hanging up.
Yeah, you're right. You saved it.
And I had to go to him, even though Iggy was telling a wonderful story that didn't necessarily answer the question. Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart. Morning, Chaser.
Morning, gentlemen. Sounds like it's another entertaining one, huh?
It's no better.
I don't think that was sincere, Chaser.
Flip that off. Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart. You have an open, don't you, Plowhawk? Go ahead.
Okay, hit the open.
Hey, Blues fans, it's time to drop your gloves and face off on the St. Louis Blues Report with Kelly Chase. Fueled by Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues. Now, here's Chaser.
There it is. It's official now. Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart. Blues lose last night. It's been a bit fascinating to see how they've struggled in one game against the Predators, although it was a great game, and then bounce back real strong against the Wild with a bunch of goals. And then last night just weren't able to get things going, although they did close in late. And then Mike Yeo talked about the element of consistency after the game. What's been your perspective on how we've seen the different results as far as offensive output, especially in the early going against the Predators, then the surge against the Wild, and then last night struggling in the first couple periods against the Ducks?
Well, it's interesting because I'm not going to say spoiled, but almost our expectations are extremely high with the emotion that they bring every night, and then not to have it for a couple periods last night was different. Now, they had opportunities that could have, we said it 15 times during the game, if they could just get one, I think the emotions would pick up a little bit and get the crowd into it a little bit. And then, maybe things would turn. And, of course, it wasn't until late in the hockey game where Brodziak gets one. And then, of course, the emotion was, extremely high, and he gets another one. And, they think they got a fighting chance. So there are some times last year where I think that team may have just gone away after they were getting frustrated by another team, and then the results would have been 5-1 or 6-0 or whatever it was. It was last night they kept clawing and scratching trying to make something happen. It's just that the element of emotion was extremely low compared to what we've seen this year out of them.
The power play 0-for-4 last night, that they've had some issues there. What do you think's going on?
Well, I mean, they've tried to change things up, and I think they've had some good looks, and that's when you don't enter the zone or you don't, get facing the net and never really square to the goalie, then that's a problem. I think they've got two units now that they're trying to figure out how they can utilize them and make them, make two lines that they could go out there and on any given night be effective. Plus, it's a healthy competition at practice for them because now, it's... Sometimes when you have some good players on a team, it's extremely tough to have enough pucks for everybody because everybody wants to be on that power play. Everybody, I think this is a healthy competition for them, but you still have to score, and it would have been a huge difference last night. Obviously, it was the penalty kill that, probably let them down a little bit. And again, this league, the margin of error is so small. Your specialty teams really have to be good night in and night out. And last night, the Blues got... they weren't where they needed to be successful. And then there's a team they could have pushed out of an arena. They're extremely banged up. They've got, I think, eight guys out of the lineup, you know, no Kessler. They have no Getzlaf. So, you know, Raquel. There was a lot of guys out of that lineup last night that are important pieces to that team. And so the Blues hopefully aren't going to look back at this one and go, man, if we just had a little more early on, we, you know. But again, I think the most of them balance out.
What did you think of Jake last night? Because a couple of those goals came from kind of odd angles.
Well, sometimes you're not going to get those bounces. You see Vermette's goal at the start of the game, the first one. You know, it's kind of an odd bounce off a guy's glove and, you know, ends up in the net. And then he had to play the next goal exactly the way he did because, what Anaheim did on their power play was stretch it out extremely far. So the two guys out at the blue line were almost all the way to the wall, so the width of the ice. And so one pass was beating two forwards for the Blues. They had to go so far on the penalty kill to be in front in the lane to front the puck that they weren't able to get over there in time. So Fowler just walks down, and Jake's got to come out to play the shot. And, I mean, it's a pass to the back door, so that's not really his responsibility. And the next one is just a simple shot on goal that lands right on the guy's tape for the rebound. So I think sometimes you don't get those bounces. Sometimes those things just don't work for you. But, again, a lot of times it's just the aggressiveness and how hard you're working to get yourself back into it. And I think that last night the Blues weren't at their best, and we've seen it happen a couple of times. So, you know, they'll be back at work today, and I think one of the things the coach is going to say is that we have been very good about our consistency, yet it wasn't there last night. And, you know, let's get back to what makes us successful. And I think that's where he'll leave it because they've had a really good run here.
Patrick Berglund was back, the big Swede. How'd he look on his steel slippers? And did he pack a lunch pail?
Mm.
Patrick was. Anytime you're out that long, it's going to take you. It's not going to just happen. I think Bergie in the game last night. He got a tripping penalty at one point. He was frustrated, and it was because the timing. Your timing's just not the same. So I think he's just going to continue to get better. I think you see him bully his way to the net a couple times last night. I thought that was exactly what they're looking for out of him. That's what he does when he's having success in the league, and I think he'll get back to that form again because, it's the timing of playing. This is a tough league to be able to be out as long as he was and then come back and get into the game. It's gonna take a little bit of time. It's not just gonna be comes out and lights it up. But I thought he had a good enough game to start to build on something.
All right, the result wasn't good, but it was a star-studded affair last night. Korea, Grant Fuhrer was there last night. What was the atmosphere like, Chaser?
That was awesome. I think one of the coolest, I told Paul after, I go, geez, man, he was having so much fun. And I said, why didn't you have this much fun when you played? He goes, I know. I was so serious about everything, wasn't I? And I said, he was laughing. It was awesome. And then, of course, when you're around Grant Fuhrer, what a gentleman, just a great guy. The inward competitiveness was always there as a player, but a lot of times you didn't see the emotion. I don't know if you guys were able to see it, but they gave him that standing ovation there. Literally he was in tears. It was awesome. After the game, I said to him, well, that was pretty good. He goes, I said, you must have done something right. He goes, I guess I made a few stops, or they were happy with me. And, he's always so happy-go-lucky, but I think it was a real Well, it's what St. Louis fans do, but it was real cool to see the emotion on Fuhrer based on the crowd's reaction when they saw him, a standing ovation. They're filming a movie about Grant and called Making Coco. And, that was Fuhrer's nickname. They worked all over in all kinds of documentaries and stuff. And they said it was not only was the organization and everybody handled with such class, but they said that they were just amazed at the way the fans react to the players. They said, we just had no idea it was that kind of a hockey city or a sports town. We've heard it, and so to see the emotion with Grant there, I thought was real neat as well.
Where does Fuhrer rank among the greatest goalies of all time? Is he top five, top 10?
Well, if you talk to Gretzky, he thinks he's the best goalie that's ever played. So
really?
that's really, he said, I've never seen anybody better than Grant Fuhr. And the reason is he said, listen, we could never have won without him in that. He goes, there was nights where we would, you know, introduce ourselves to him in the warm up and then say, we'll see you at the end of the night. And all it was his offense. It was just like basically, you know, him taking off and he would make, you might lose the, or might win the game 7-6, but he wouldn't lose the game. And I often tell a story about where Grant, when Grant in the playoffs, when we were playing and down three games to one in the series to Phoenix, and he didn't say a lot in the locker room, and he let in a bad goal in game 6, and he came in and he said, listen, you guys, you know, he stood up and he's like, you know, that little squeaky voice, hey, listen up, and that one's on me. And he's, and we're like, oh my God, he speaks. And he just said, listen, I that was on me, and I made a mistake, and if we win this hockey game, get me to game 7, boys. I don't lose game 7s. And if you'll remember, we were down 3-1 in the series. We won that game. We came back and won the game, and then we went to Phoenix, and we beat Phoenix in game 7 in triple overtime, 1-0. And so when guys like that that are as accomplished as Grant was speak like that and then go out and deliver, you're like, you know, there's something there. And he was just unbelievable in the game. I mean, oh, my God. So, you know, he's got to be up in the top 5 for sure if he's not the best. So I, that's where I would say.
I'm sure that moment will make its way into the movie.
Oh, I think there was 4 of us that told the same story when they identified that, you know, because truly it was, I mean, I was a young guy watching them in Edmonton. And the way their team was, they had 6 guys off that team in the Hall of Fame. They should have 7, right? You know, Kevin Lowe eventually get in. But, I mean, think about that. He was just – he was unbelievable. And, you know, winning Stanley Cups, winning the World Cup, the Canada Cup. I mean, this guy was he was winning everything. And so, you know, to get to play with him, and I had come back from Hartford – and Paul Coffey told me what a great guy he was. And Paul Coffey was also saying the same things that the Wayne said, was like you don't realize how important he was to our team. He, like, you know, we were not great defensively, and he would just stand on his head. You know, and Coffey tells a story about how they were the shots were like 22-2 in the kind of a timeout in the first period, the last TV timeout in the first period, and it's already 22-2 of the shots against the Oilers. And he comes back to the bench and he pulls his mask off and he has a little water and he looks over and he says, hey, gay boys, I'm warm. The guys were just like, oh my God, he saved us. They ended up scoring late in the period and went in 1-0, and Sather couldn't even come in and say anything to them because they won the hockey game. So, you know, I think there's a healthy respect around the league for Grant, for certain. But for the guys that played on that team, they were like, hey, listen, he's the best.
You look at some of the guys that have played for the Blues, and some of them right at the tail end of the career. It's still pretty cool that at one point we had Gretzky and Kariya and Howardchuk, and for an hour and a half, Martin Brodeur and Fuhr. And
Havanoff.
Really, well, maybe not him, but really some of the best guys that have ever played.
Havanoff. I like the way you slid that in there.
Yeah. Well, that was a cat.
But no, that's... The truth is that, you know,
thanks, Tim.
Some of those guys probably should have been kept like a little longer, possibly. Like, I mean, obviously Stevens, that was just a miscue when he was here. But Gretzky, I mean, Gretzky wanted to end his career in St. Louis. So between Keenan and Jack Quinn, they couldn't have botched it any worse than they did. But again, you know, to know that those guys. What's unbelievable, too, is that, like, Paul Kariya, yesterday I drove back to the hotel at lunch, and we were just chatting on the way back, and he said, you know, he's asking me about the management, and said, geez, there's a lot of guys around here, you know, working for the team that are they're really good at, you know, the leaders. And he was talking about, you know, McInnes and Hall and Marty and, you know, so on and so forth. And he goes, now I hear that Larry Robinson, and I went through, you know, and I said, yeah, and he goes, what do you think it is? And I said, well, I think with the free agency, we do a pretty good job of making sure that we have guys that they look around and go, wow, he's a part of it. Because maybe sometimes we can't afford to spend $70 million on a free agent. We make sure that guys give us credibility that have won before. So pretty good series that Army's put together, I think, and a good grouping of guys you can trust with some experience. He goes, you know what? I go, why would free agents not want to come here? He goes, if I was a free agent today, this is the team I'd pick. I loved it here. I loved it here. I love the team. I love the direction they're going. He goes, the rink is unbelievable. He said the locker room's amazing. He goes, the way people treat you here. He goes, this would be my first choice if I was a free agent right now. So for Paul Kariya to say that, and I mean, you know, he's a well-thought, well-versed guy. I think it, you know, resonates to some of the success that the Blues have put together. And the only thing missing, obviously, is the cup. And if they do that, that gives them a whole bunch of credibility for a long, long time. And so, you know, that's the goal.
Kelly Chase with us here every Thursday, brought to you by Petromart. Chaser, we appreciate it as always, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chaser.
All right, boys.
Kelly Chase with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. The Appliance Discounter phone lines. Breaking news over the course of that interview from from the sexual harassment department. Another resignation.
Oh, we got another big name?
Russell Simmons.
Mm-hmm. Def Comedy Jam?
It's just stepped down from his company this morning after a screenwriter says Russell assaulted her in 1991. He has issued a statement. I have been informed with great anguish of Jenny LeMay, I think is how you'd pronounce it, L-U-M-E-T, recollection about our night together in 1991. I know Jenny and her family and have seen her several times over the years since the evening she described. While her memory of that evening is very different from mine, it is now clear to me that her feelings of fear and intimidation are real. While I've never been violent, I have been thoughtless and insensitive in some of my relationships over many decades, and I sincerely and humbly apologize. And then he goes on to say that he is stepping aside and will commit himself to continue his personal growth, spiritual learning, and above all, to listening. That seems like that's the...
Yes.
Yeah, they got the same PR guys working for all of them.
Hey, I'm 80, but I'm still a work in progress.
But right. No, but Al Franken, Matt Lauer issued a statement this morning at the top of today.
How they remember it a little differently.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder why... I don't know. Like I said yesterday when we were talking about it, it's like, to talk about it, it's like, you know, what, quote, upside is there? Because if you say something a little wrong, then you can be like, I saw Geraldo tweeted out last night, and immediately Fox News distanced itself from his tweets. And
yeah, he was supportive of Matt Lauer, wasn't he?
But I mean,
he called it the news business a flirty business. That's what I read as the...
There was a series of tweets. And I gathered in reading between the lines on what Geraldo was tweeting, and Doug, those are words I never thought I would be saying, but in attempting to decipher what I think he was saying, because it's of course lambasted as being insensitive, and now he's on the apology tour, which is why I'm hesitant to talk about it, because if you just say something inadvertently that someone would take away that you don't intend, then all of a sudden now you're on the chopping block. But the reason why I think what he was trying to say is some of these allegations are rooted in bad breakups, and that should not be the standard for which someone either loses their job or is judged.
No.
And so I think that's what he was trying to say. And then when Fox News saw that and then distanced themselves from that, then he said, I was wrong. I apologize.
Wouldn't you think if you're wrongly accused, though, you would just fight it with every ounce of your soul?
So that's the thing about the only person, and I said this yesterday, and I don't know where it stands. Iggy, I guess I'll put you on another. I don't know where things stand with the Jeremy Piven one. You haven't heard a whole lot about it. But, I mean, the names you're hearing are, while Jeremy Piven's a big name, especially for Entourage fans, it's not nearly the, you know, name of some of the others, whether it be in Congress or, you know, a Harvey Weinstein or Matt Lauer. So, and Russell Simmons, huge with his business. Now, I mean, yeah, we talk about Def Comedy Jam, but his business, huge. Is Piven's the only one that I'm aware of. Now, I'm not saying this with certainty, but he's the only one who said, I will take a polygraph. I will do whatever. It's just not true.
I think that Judge Roy Moore has said that.
That he will take a polygraph?
I know he said that, but he certainly denied it. The rest have just kind of said, well, I remember it differently, and I am sorry, I apologize. Well,
last night he had a campaign rally at a church, and he said the whole thing was conspiracy created by homosexuals and socialists. But I didn't know anything about
that. Did he offer up any proof?
Proof of?
The conspiracy.
I don't believe so, but I didn't get a chance to watch the campaign speech. But Russell Simmons, Franken, and Lauer have all said something similar in the sense that they say they don't remember the events the same way. But then, like you said, Doug, they don't deny. So it's like they're perhaps wanting to say, well, that's not true. And Lauer actually went so far as to say some of these accusations are not true. But then they still, you know, apologize and say they're going to seek help, treatment, whatever the case might be.
Did you see the video of him making a sly comment to Meredith Vieira?
Matt Lauer?
Like right before he went on the air, he was sitting on the couch ready to go on the air.
What did he say?
I guess they were in a commercial break, and he gives this look over. You can't really see who it was, but they said it was Meredith Vieira. He goes, wow, that's a nice sweater. I want you to stay bent over. It's a great view from here. And then, bam, he's on the air.
Now, when I was eating pistachios, you could see my boy cleavage, and you said something during the break.
I said nothing to you.
You remember it differently.
Yes.
It's not even something to joke.
Yeah, go ahead.
How big do you want to get? Because there's been 34 men who have come forward since Weinstein.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Steve, come forward, I think,
mean,
would be a different way to
say it. The women have come forward to accuse them. Steve Jurvetson, who was a member of Tesla, co-founder of the venture capital firm. Let me be perfectly clear. No such allegations are true. I don't know how big you're looking for. I'll go through some. And if I see one.
Yeah, anybody's a target right now.
Can you imagine, though, if this, you know, people are like, oh, that entertainment industry. And then you think, well, wait a minute. This stuff didn't just go on in the entertainment industry.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. I mean.
There have probably been people in businesses that we've never heard of that are going through the same thing.
Yes,
I saw a tweet last night that summed up at least what I am feeling as I'm hearing this. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday also. And we touched on the Matt Lauer story in the 8 o'clock hour. And it was a tweet from a female reporter. I wasn't familiar with her. And then I think Gretchen Carlson retweeted it and said exactly. Gretchen Carlson, was she not the whistleblower on Roger Ailes? Am I correct on that or am I wrong on that?
I think
she was
at Fox
News.
I believe so, yeah.
So she retweeted and said exactly this, which is, it seems the current climate has many men going, I can't believe that this is that widespread, and many women going, I can't believe men are finally being penalized for the behavior. I'm paraphrasing the tweet. And that's, you know, I think what I know it's what I was saying. I don't want to put words in your guys' mouths on this topic. You know, it's not how you feel, but that's exactly how I'm just like, I can't believe. And I'm sure there's some, you know, the handful of women who listen to the show, I'm sure they're like, you really can't believe it? But yeah, I can't believe it for a variety of reasons. I'm going to make it clear. It's not that I don't believe the accusations. I can't believe the irresponsibility. What in the hell are you doing? That's what I can't believe.
I can certainly believe the flirting that goes on in office environments. A lot of people meet their spouses at work. A lot of people do, or they date someone at work. But the part about walking around in your underwear and dropping your trousers and locking the door to keep people in, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
I can't understand, unless you're just lying, if you deny it, where there's all these reports and you didn't realize that the 21-year-old intern was uncomfortable with you standing next to her naked. You're a 70, like you, it never crossed your mind.
Jeffrey Tambor has denied it. Andy Dick has denied it.
What was Andy Dick accused of?
Sexual harassment, including groping.
Was it of a, I'm not trying to be abusive, was it of a guy or a girl?
I think
because
a girl.
He's a very public bisexual.
He was in his hotel room there
fired
for a while.
He was. Joe woke up and he was in his hotel room.
He was fired from the film.
With him.
Whatever film he was doing. He's fired from the film. I didn't grope anybody. I might have kissed somebody on the cheek to say goodbye and then licked them. I'm not trying to sexually harass people.
I think the hugging days are probably over at work.
Good. And
we're kind of in an era where a lot of people hug now, where maybe they once shook hands. A lot of people hug.
Yeah,
that's probably over with.
Yeah,
at the work
environment. Can you imagine, though, if you're some young female and you're working with all these old dudes and they want to hug you? Yeah. Handshake. For an office, handshake.
Well, I'm not sure all the hugs are sexual in nature. A lot of people hug.
Right.
Now,
I'm not saying
hi.
That, but why give someone the opportunity? You know what I mean? If it's a workplace, a handshake is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. If it wasn't before, I think it's probably mandatory now as opposed to the hug.
Or maybe just bow like they do.
Oh, yeah.
Some other countries.
It may get to that.
There's no contact.
May get to that. Fist bump maybe would be the best way to go.
Those are the only two I could find.
So Piven and Tambor or Andy Dick?
And Andy Dick, too. But
where do things stand with Piven? That's the one that he, to me, that was the most vociferous of the denials.
Yeah, he's the only one that I could see that denied it. The other ones denied it, but said, if I ever did anything to offend you, I apologize, but I never intentionally did it. He just flat out said, I didn't do any of this.
You know, one of the common denominators with a lot of these guys is they're older. And maybe Andy Dick is one of the exceptions, but most of them are 60 plus. Even Matt Lauer's right there around 60. I wonder if some of it is just guys kind of lose their filter as they get older. Just in general, people lose a bit of their filter and start saying whatever they want to say. I'm old. What do I care anymore?
But Lauer's been doing this for 15 years, so.
Yeah, he may be one of the exceptions, but it just seems like they're really older people.
See, I disagree. I don't think it's an age thing. I think it's people that have power. And based on that power, they feel that they can do anything they want to do. And if you're older and you've managed to survive in an industry, probably accumulated a lot of power. I don't think it's an age thing.
Regarding Piven, sorry, I know we're all over the place, which is really rare for the show.
Mm-hmm.
CBS is dropping Jeremy Piven's show amid sexual misconduct allegations. It's from the Washington Post 2 days ago.
We haven't seen hide nor hair of Kevin Spacey, have we?
Well, you won't either. He's done. Just
done forever. And Louis C.K. also is just off the map completely.
The other element of this, and I was reading this last night, Charlie Rose has been calling individually all of the staffers on the Charlie Rose show. So not CBS, but the PBS show that airs on Bloomberg and then also PBS. And he tapes from Bloomberg Studios in New York and said, apologize. The show is coming to an end. You'll be paid through the end of December, and that's it. And there are a lot of people who didn't know for the last week what was going to wind up happening, and a lot of people, some have worked for a decade plus per this article, who are just like, you've got to be kidding me. I worked for 10 years, and I'm out of a job, and I'm only getting paid.
He's going to be sued. Yeah,
so like for House of Cards, for example, with Spacey, I mean, the show just goes away. So you have the people who are the victims, but then you have victims by proxy because of shows shutting
down. But Rose owns that show. So he's, to me, liable. It's his show. And that show, which was on for a long time, people depended on it for their livelihood, is suddenly over with barely a severance.
You would think that show could be copied by somebody else. Charlie Rose is hardly an irreplaceable part. Kevin Spacey a little different on the show he was
but
on.
But it's Rose owns it.
I understand.
That's the whole thing.
But somebody could hire all those people and say, all right, we're going to do the same thing, only with a different interviewer.
But
wouldn't be real hard to do, I wouldn't
who's
think.
Who's going
to
say?
If it's that lucrative.
Yeah, I'm not so sure it was. I think he had a thing based on who he was.
Hasn't O'Reilly denied it? Am I wrong on that?
I think he remembered it differently.
Well, he does interviews, and he's pretty
he's denied
fired up when he does the interviews.
Yeah.
I think I read where he actually paid a couple people off, though.
I remember wrong, he said he paid them off just to avoid the public embarrassment of the whole accusation. Yeah.
But
you
don't pay anybody off if you didn't do anything.
They went so far with Spacey, he finished a movie.
Yeah.
That was done. And they cut him out, hired another actor to do all of his parts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And a pretty well-known actor, too. I forgot his name.
The Louis C.K. movie was done, and that story came out like the day before it was going to be released in theaters.
And he just signed his special for Netflix as well and HBO, so I think he had a lot of money off the table after that. Yeah.
I honestly think it's the power. You know, obviously you have to have some character flaws too. I mean, or a twisted mind in the case of some of these guys, really twisted. But I think guys are so used to, hey, the rules don't apply to me. I do whatever I want to do. And maybe they lose track of themselves and what's right and what's wrong. Because you can't imagine some of these things that have gone on for so long.
Just below the surface, even at work, that's what a lot of people are thinking about, I think. The girl sitting next to him or the guy that they like. Just below the surface of you know, what you're supposed to be doing. That's still going through people's minds.
It was a Ridley Scott movie about John Paul Getty, and he's being replaced by Christopher Plummer. So Plummer had to go in and redo every one of Spacey's scenes.
Well, okay.
Well, I'm just following up with
good
the movie.
For Christopher, how old is he? Man, he's got to be out there.
Like 40 years older than Spacey, I think.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm pretty sure Matt Lauer interviewed O'Reilly. Ironic. That's
he did.
The Jeffco Jewel Juggler.
He did.
Yeah, in September.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah. Ask him how he felt, how those five women felt that he must have abused.
Well, to show you how people sometimes take it as a joke, Katie Couric in 2012 was on Andy Cohen's show, and he asked her, you work with Lauer for 15 years on the Today Show, what did he do something about him that we wouldn't know? And her response was, well, he liked to pinch me on the ass a lot. Mm-hmm. And everybody just laughed.
Everybody laughed.
Right. Well, she was telling you in 2012 what he did.
Right.
Nobody paid attention.
Did she laugh when she said it?
Andy Cohen did. I think she didn't act like she's pissed. Do you grab me in the ass? She just kind of, he liked to grab me, pinch me on the ass a lot.
They even got George Bush for that at what, 93, 94? Some of it I just think is an age thing. I've lost my filter. I'm going to do what I want to do.
God.
Well, that's a good point that people laughed at that back then. It's a good thing that they're not laughing about that kind of thing today. Because that kind of thing also leads to other, who knows?
And you know this isn't the end of it, that the names are just going to keep coming.
It's essentially every other day, or in this case, back-to-back days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've lost track. I'm like, oh yeah, Halperman, I forgot about him. That was only like 3 weeks ago.
And the media guys and the Hollywood people, they tend to lose their jobs immediately. It's over, gone. Somehow the politicians are all still there.
Yeah, but this stuff with Lauer, apparently. You know, NBC can say, well, this is the first complaint. There's pretty much on the record, people are saying, no, there were complaints. Well,
they got
no one listened.
Pictures of Al Franken.
I mean,
pictures of it. He's still there.
This wouldn't have happened if the climate wasn't right. I think Lauer was protected. I don't even firsthand knowledge, but it seems like the network knew what was going on. And
did you read the Variety article?
I did. Yeah, that was, I think it said in there that one of the former producers or hosts said, I've told many people.
Yeah.
They protected him.
Yeah.
He was the golden child. They couldn't do anything to him.
How about Conyers? I mean, had Cokie Roberts the other day say, yeah, we all knew that you don't get in the elevator alone with Representative Conyers. How many years has he been there? And he's still there. The politicians seem to weather the storm and everybody else is out immediately. It seems like they should be the first ones gone. I mean, we're paying their salary. They should be the first ones out.
Well, to me, it's the profit motive. If you're a network and you know that the Times is coming out with a big expose on one of your stars, you don't want to have the bottom line hurt, so you act preemptively.
The bottom line's getting killed with these movies that they've done. Have to reshoot.
If it's a politician, who's the one that's going to say you got to go? There's a process.
Everybody should be the ones that say
you got to
go. I
agree, but it's not happening.
Doug, how about the president? Thanks. That's from Altsy.
Well, as soon as somebody comes up with real proof, I'm sure they'll present it.
The 314 people voted for a habitual sexual predator for president. It's
well,
the 314.
You know, they don't know that. If they had proof of that, they would have presented that. Those were allegations that they never had proof of.
O'Reilly and Fox News had some of the biggest payouts to women, millions. It's from Abe Froman. I agree with the cat. These guys think nothing will ever happen to them because they're in a position of power, and the people they assault won't say anything because they can't risk their careers when they're at a lower level. It's from Craig, the CPA.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Doug is right. The older you get, you don't care. Like last night, he let me do. Nope.
No. Right, now, who was that? Now, who was that?
It's Fred from the poor part of the
nail. Rational point. Then,
yeah. Fred from the poor part of the nail got himself suspended for the last night comment. Got himself suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going into the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension logule. They do have 11 locations, in case you've forgotten.
It's time for the Hot Shots email today. Hot Shots has those Blues watch parties. They give away tickets on Tuesdays. Plus, we're going to be there on December 14th at the Hot Shots on Manchester. Hot Shots has the suspension special. They have them riplets.
They have great wings.
That's right.
Great fellowship.
It's time for the Hot Shots email today. And anybody other than Misty Plops winning means Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech wins November. Guys, I'm married to an October 1992 Hustlers Beaver Shot of the Month winner.
No, you're not.
Before we go any further, I'm wondering what type of pube forensics we're going to need to do here for me to claim my prize. Thanks, Doug. That comes from Reeves.
That comes from Reeves. Reeves.
Seamaster ordered that as our leadoff hitter today.
He's sneaky and he's vile.
Guys, Plops here. You guys talked a lot about listeners' wives and John Carlos Stanton. You played a few clips from Francesca's show, and once again, a producer that left the show years ago is brought up as if he's still just sitting over in the other room. Guys, this email could 100% apply to any show you've done in the last 45 days. Hey, nice consistency. Switching lanes, if I may. How about Matt Lauer having a button installed at his desk that would lock the door to his office? Guys, you know an electrician had to have been brought in to set that up, and it was probably at least a half-day job. How in the hell do you convince your boss to install one of these for you?
The boss has had them too, apparently.
And wouldn't you think it would be a bit awkward to bring it up?
Mm-hmm.
Do you wait for your annual review and just casually drop in the request as you're zipping your pants up at the end? I don't have anything like this at my desk, but I pretend to. I pretend that when I pick up my desk phone and hit the number 2 button, my desk chair magically becomes a toilet. Then I close my eyes and just start going right then and there.
No.
When I'm finished making.
No, don't.
So silly. I pick the phone back up and hit 9213. Whatever the man, when the man answers, I simply say, me again, and hang up. Then, like magic, an angry foreign gentleman from our maintenance department shows up with a mop, bucket, deodorant powders, and rubber gloves to clean my work area.
No.
It's literally like a damn magic show over here. You should see it. Thanks. It's from Misty Plops.
Don't.
Hashtag ShamBlessed.
No, don't encourage that.
I think we're going to have a playoff.
Misty Plops, assistant program director.
And then he did the ShamBlessed.
Yeah, that was a huge hit. In honor of the Cats' Ollie-like return to being cheap, an ironic study of Iggy and producer Joe. Iggy, selfless charity sponsor. Joe, passes out in stairwells. Iggy, murderer. Joe, likes soccer. Joe, quit pee-pee talk radio. Iggy, quit bowling. Iggy, 70-year-old guy who thinks John Carlos Stanton is attractive. Joe, kicked Iggy out of the baseball league. Tied for first. Doug, there's one coming for you too, punkin. TFK, war pee hump, war the cat finding a penny. Thank you, TFK.
Where did that TFK come from?
Right at the end, where his ShamBlessed was a nice little hit at the end, war the cat finding a penny.
A little anti-Semitic, dog. Yeah.
Morning, fellas. I can't believe Doug Fister got $4 million from the Texas Rangers. I've been Doug's Fister for years, and I've never got a Happy Meal, a couple coupon for 10% off.
Do you have a name on that one, Tim?
It's Hipster Tower Grove South. You know him too.
Hipster Tower Grove South suspended a period of 2 days' time. I'm writing it now. Thank you, Hot Shots. Thank you, Wrightsy.
Boy, Bill Pullman didn't even submit one.
Wow, that's confidence.
Yeah, interesting. And it's 10 o'clock, so that's what we've had for the Hot Shots email today. I was looking for Bills, and I didn't see it.
No, he's in there.
He's in there. Uh-oh. Oh, my God. Hold on a second.
I've never seen Seymour move that
was
fast.
Was that it? Oh, I hope it's not that one. God bless America. Well, I mean, we're going to be here until 10:20.
Read fast.
Yet another alternate Godfather scene. Vito, Sonny, and Salazzo discuss a new business venture. Salazzo breaks into 2 bottles of Gaga's wine, alabaster saddlebags, and portly goblin, but his celebration is premature. My answer is no, and I'll give you my reasons. This AM sports station you want to buy is dirty business. My contacts in sports media, like Jason Barrett, will frown upon it. It makes no difference to me, you understand, what a man does for a living, whether he's a long-haired stoner or the sunflower strangler himself. If you're worried about ratings, KMOX will guarantee it. Sonny angrily speaks up. You're saying you'll have Mike Claiborne and Chris Rabia in our cuck studio spitting hot takes all day? Salazzo raises his glass. If you think you're already better at teasing and gift presentation, then salut, Don Corleone. When Salazzo leaves, Vito scolds Sonny. Don't ever tell anyone outside of 590 what you're thinking again. Sorry, Pop. What now? Send Iggy Brazzi to him. Tell him he's unhappy with our adverts and wants to join their station. Days later, the Corleones receive a strange package at the front door. A rotted pumpkin with jars of baby food inside. What's this? It's an AM radio message. It means Iggy Brazzi sleeps with the jack-o'-lanterns. Doug, it comes from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
What you got? That was strong.
Independence Day
but
speech.
I gotta be honest about it, and Plops was a shade better in my opinion, so I'm going Plops.
Plops was vile. I'll go for Bill Pullman's.
Congratulations to Misty Plops. Yay! You have forced a playoff for tomorrow, and you have won the Hot Shots email of the day. Time for us to shut it down. For the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for Seamaster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Sullivan Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McCurdy. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning.